No need to use COVID to score political points. No need. You have many other ways to prove yourselves.
Nations getting testy with the WHO. It's Friday, April 10th, and this is VOA Asia. Coming up, why this is a boom time for dogs and making music in spite of COVID-19. That and much more coming up on VOA Asia. The Director General of the World Health Organization is warning nations not to politicize COVID-19, the disease caused by the coronavirus. Tedros Ghebreyesus says that only national and global unity will defeat the virus. Close to 1.5 million people now have the infection, which has claimed about 87,000 lives. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
WHO Chief Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus says the body bags from the dangerous infection are piling up. He says nations should not waste time pointing fingers to score political points, but instead should unite to defeat this disease.
The focus of all political parties should be to save their people. Please don't politicize this virus. If you don't want many more body bags, then you refrain from politicizing it. My short message is, please quarantine politicizing COVID.
Tedros made his remarks a day after U.S. President Donald Trump threatened to cut WHO's funding. The president said the health agency was too slow in reacting to the pandemic and that it was too China-centric. He was implying the WHO might have done so out of deference to China, where the coronavirus was first reported. During remarks at the White House, Trump said the United States is going to put a very powerful hold on money it sends to the organization. He says the WHO called it wrong. Trump later backtracked on the funding threat, saying we're going to look at it. The U.S. is the largest contributor to the organization. Tedros says he does not waste his time thinking about personal attacks against him when there are so many other serious issues that need to be tackled. Tedros says he prefers to spend his time focusing on saving lives.
I can tell you personal attacks that has been going on for more than 2-3 months. Abuses or racist comments, giving me names, black or negro. I'm proud of being black or proud of being negro, because maybe for the first time I would make this public, even death threat.
Tedros says there is nothing personal about COVID-19. He says everyone in the world is in this together. He says the United States and China should come together to fight the dangerous enemy. He adds the G20 and the rest of the world also should come together to join the fight. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
At a time the WHO should be focused on battling the coronavirus, it's now facing criticism from its biggest donor. Patsy Wicudswara reports for VOA from the White House.
U.S. President Donald Trump accused the WHO of not being aggressive enough in confronting the virus and threatened to suspend funding. In response, WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus called for unity and warned against politicizing the crisis.
No need to use COVID to score political points. No need. You have many other ways to prove yourselves.
So when he says politicizing, he's politicizing. That shouldn't be. But look, we spend $450 billion, $452 billion, almost $500 billion last year, hundreds of billions in previous years. And they got to do better than that.
Trump accused the WHO of being slow to react to the pandemic, despite it declaring COVID-19 as a public health emergency of international concern weeks before the U.S. declared a national emergency. Trump also accused it of being China-centric. The agency has praised China's response to the pandemic, and critics say it may have been too trusting of Beijing, who initially tried to conceal the outbreak in Wuhan. Robert Daly is the director of the Kissinger Institute on China and the United States at the Wilson Center.
There is both a legitimate concern here about the WHO perhaps pandering to China. There is some evidence of that, although it's to be determined. We don't really know. And then there's also a concern that perhaps the Trump administration is using this as a scapegoat to distract from its own rather late and ineffectual response.
On the same day Trump threatened to suspend WHO funding, the U.S. announced an additional $225 million to boost COVID-19 response efforts worldwide. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo.
That's on top of the roughly $274 million in funding we've already deployed to 64 countries across the globe.
Pompeo said the aid is part of U.S. continued global leadership in the pandemic, which some analysts view as lacking. Daniel Rundy is an international development analyst at the Center for Strategic and International Studies.
If we want to remain a global power, one of the things that the world expects us as a global power is to help solve this problem. We need to be seen as solving the global COVID problem, because if we aren't, China's going to happily step in and try and take the credit.
Publicly, Trump has welcomed China's global role in the pandemic. Earlier this month, he said that he views it as a positive if Beijing is helping other countries. Patsy Widakuswara, VOA News.
These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on voanews.com. As restrictions ease in Wuhan, health officials remain vigilant against resurgence. Australian police seize evidence from the country's biggest source of coronavirus infections. Asian markets back on the upswing on Thursday, and Taiwan denies WHO chief's accusation of racism. You can learn much more about these and other stories by following us on Facebook, on Instagram, or just visiting our website, voanews.com. This is VOA Asia from Washington. Across the world, authorities are imposing unprecedented restrictions on citizens' freedoms to prevent the spread of the coronavirus. Human rights groups warn that some governments are exploiting the state of emergency to grab power. Even in established democracies, there are fears that the health crisis is being used to silence critics. Henry Ridgewell reports from London.
The extraordinary restrictions on basic freedoms are in most cases necessary to fight the COVID-19 virus, says Human Rights Watch Executive Director Kenneth Roth.
But sadly, we're also seeing governments that are actually much more focused on using the virus as a pretext to crack down on their critics and to consolidate their power.
In China, the origin of the virus, doctors in Wuhan tried to alert the world to the dangers of the new disease.
And the Chinese authorities, rather than heeding that warning, suppressed it. They censored them. They reprimanded them. And that gave the virus a three-week disastrous head start, during which time it went global.
In the months since, normal checks on power in country after country have been suspended, warns United Nations Special Rapporteur Agnes Callamard.
The court have far less power than they used to. Parliaments as well are far weaker under the state of emergency.
In Hungary, Prime Minister Viktor Orban pushed through emergency legislation in March with no time limit.
That basically allows him to rule by decree without any parliamentary oversight. It abandons elections.
Many countries have banned street protests.
If you think about the Algerian military-led government or President Putin in Russia, the Lebanese, the Iraqi governments, Prime Minister Modi in India, these are all governments that were facing big pro-democracy challenges in the streets. For the time being, those protests have to stop. Everybody understands that. But how long will the government maintain rules prohibiting that kind of free assembly just because it's convenient?
Police have been given extra powers to enforce a lockdown. In Kenya, a 13-year-old boy was accidentally shot dead. In Cape Town, police evicted dozens of migrants from a church. Footage emerged of police in India spraying migrant workers with disinfectant.
In the name of saving as many lives as possible, we are going to put the life of the most vulnerable groups at greater risk. History tells us that those moments are situations, moments where police powers is likely to be abused.
The September 11th, 2001 terror attacks on the United States are a case in point, says Roth.
That too was a moment in which people were fearful. They asked governments to protect them, and many governments, rather than doing what was really necessary to protect them, seized all kinds of extraordinary powers that it took a long, long time to relinquish.
For now, restrictions on our freedom are accepted as necessary weapons in fighting COVID-19. The fear is those restrictions could far outlive the disease itself. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
You're listening to VOA Asia. Chinese property tycoon Ren Zhicheng, who went missing last month after criticizing top leader Xi Jinping for what he said was the government's mishandling of the coronavirus outbreak, is being investigated by the Communist Party's disciplinary watchdog. In a statement released late Tuesday, the party's Commission for Discipline Inspection announced that Ren, a party member and former top executive of a state-controlled property developer, is under investigation for what it called serious violations of law and discipline. The statement gave no further details. Analysts argue that the investigation is meant to send a clear signal that any challenge to Xi's authority will not be tolerated. They said it also indicates the top leadership's decision and unease about growing domestic and international calls for holding communist leadership accountable for the global pandemic. Jean-Pierre Cabestan is a political science professor at the Baptist University of Hong Kong.
The message is pretty scary because clearly the Chinese Communist Party wants to silence everyone, any critical voice about the way the government has managed the coronavirus crisis.
Beijing has been criticized for initially downplaying the severity of the coronavirus outbreak. Government data indicates the virus, which originated in Wuhan province, now appears to be subsiding in China. Some experts say Beijing's move to lock down areas where the virus was widespread may have contributed to its decline. This Asian news break, India is considering plans to seal off coronavirus hotspots in Delhi, Mumbai, and parts of the south, while easing restrictions elsewhere as a way out of the three-week lockdown that has caused deep economic distress. More on this story and many others at our website, voanews.com.
A message from your friends at VOA Asia. Wash your hands with soap and water before you eat, after using the toilet, after touching anything many other people touch, like a seat on a public bus. Scrub thoroughly for 20 seconds. If you cannot wash your hands, use a hand sanitizer. Taking these steps can prevent not only coronavirus, but also colds and flu and other viruses. A message from your friends at VOA Asia.
You're listening to VOA Asia, coming to you from the Voice of America. Experts seem to agree, if you're not a healthcare worker, do not buy N95 masks, long considered the Cadillac of protective masks. They will not help you much, and they're in extremely short supply for the people who need them most, the frontline healthcare workers trying to protect themselves from COVID-19, while they save lives. So what's a person to do? Maybe do it yourself. Julie Tabo has more.
The growing shortage of personal protection equipment in the U.S. is inspiring many Americans across the country to dust off their sewing machines and make their own. This California couple used to work behind the scenes on some of the biggest TV shows in Hollywood. But today, they have a new job.
I'm making masks with my boyfriend at the moment because people need them.
I was describing it the other day as like a war effort. Everyone kind of just did a job and made things that we needed. So that's what we're doing.
I'm gonna take 2 yards of the white.
Karen Villa is buying materials to make about 100 of them for family and members of her community.
I have family members that are in police, nurse practitioners. I have a pregnant daughter, and we have a family member on chemo, and I'm just making sure anybody that needs a mask, if they run out, we have them.
Liz Boyson works full-time, but makes face masks in the evenings with her daughter, Willow.
I started it just for some neighbors on the block who I know are immunocompromised, and it sort of took off from there.
Now she makes them for anyone in the community who needs them.
Just based on local demand, we've been able to just put them out front. And as people are out for their daily walks, they pick them up. And it's a way to get them to folks who don't have, you know, a formal distribution channel.
Her masks are usually gone within hours. Boyson acknowledges that while homemade masks may not provide ideal protection against the coronavirus, she feels they're better than no protection at all, and are easy to make.
The simplicity of it is what's striking. You know, this is something that even elementary school and middle school kids can get into.
Boyson and others see their effort as a small contribution to the greater goal of defeating this global pandemic.
This is a really important time to be doing that, and especially if it's something that we can be teaching our children about this time, something that makes them feel empowered and a little bit less scared, it's certainly been helping us get through this really difficult time.
Seemingly small acts of kindness that may be helping to save lives in these troubling times. Julie Tabo, VOA News, Washington.
This Asia News update, residents of the central Chinese city of Wuhan began traveling outside city limits on Thursday, the first day after a virtual lockdown imposed nearly 3 months ago to halt the spread of the novel coronavirus was lifted. Much more on this story and many others at our website, voanews.com.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see, with links to easily find them. VOA Asia Twitter, we're always online for you.
While life has become much more difficult for most people in the U.S. because of the coronavirus outbreak and the lockdown measures, it's been a great few weeks for shelter animals. Adoptions are way up. Leslie Bacalitz has the story, narrated by Anna Rice.
In these times of strict quarantine, dogs have become more than just company. They are a legitimate reason to go outside, pet owners say. A win-win situation, as shelter employees across the U.S. say dog adoptions and foster numbers have gone up significantly since the start of lockdown measures in most of the states.
Happiness, the ability to go outside and walk around and not be harassed or anything, plus just general companionship.
Many decided that being quarantined to prevent the spread of the virus is the perfect time to get a dog. With so many Americans working from home, they have both the time and the energy to take care of a new pet.
I think in New York City, a lot of people work like 12 hours a day, and so they feel that it's not great to have a pet because they're not home enough. But now that they're home all day long, I think they're more open to it.
For the shelter cats and dogs in New York City, the quarantine is a chance to find a loving family. Employees at the animal care centers say they got 25 times more applications to adopt or foster than they had expected.
On March 13th, we put a call out to New York City because we knew that we would be facing some tough times ahead, and we asked for fosters and adopters. And we thought we would get about 200 applications, and we ended up getting 5,000 applications.
This is not unusual. The same thing is happening on the West Coast, where one of San Francisco's shelters for elderly animals reported that it was completely empty. All the animals have been adopted or fostered.
When we had the lockdown, we had to get in touch with as many foster families as we could to close down the shelter and move every single dog into a foster home because we wanted to close the shelter because we didn't want to have our employees come to work. So within 48 hours, we found foster homes for every single dog.
In Washington, D.C., an organization called City Dog Rescue holds a weekly event trying to have as many animals adopted and fostered as possible. But instead of meeting the animals inside the shelter, fosters and adopters come to the city cemetery grounds, where there's more open space. Marissa is taking home Dumpling today.
We're both at home a lot right now, and we have another dog at home, and we thought she might be able to use some doggy friendship, another buddy in the house.
But despite the excitement and joy, shelter employees know that after the lockdown measures are lifted, some of the animals will be back at the shelter.
I don't think we can anticipate what the return will be, but we are probably thinking about half the animals that we have out in foster, which is over 300, will come back to us at some point.
But the shelters are ready for this. They have long lists of waitlisted prospective owners and fosters. What matters for them now is that the animals will spend this difficult time surrounded by loving people who are helping the dogs just as much as the dogs are helping them. Фалеся Бакалец in New York and Washington, NRI's VOA News.
Governments, both local and national, increasingly have been calling on their citizens to stay at home as a way to help slow the spread of the novel coronavirus. Musicians have joined the campaign. VOA's Arash Arabasadi turns up the volume on just a few of the performances.
Performers from the National Orchestra of France hopped online to share their music from home with others in isolation. Kettle drum player Didier Benetti.
We are all together. We want to share something because we need you. You need us, but we are all together. And with this music that we send in the internet, we can keep in touch with you.
In New York, author Casper Ter Kuile sent a tweet asking if anyone wanted to learn simple songs one Sunday. More than 100 people logged into his video chat.
You know, when you put it in gallery view, you see lots and lots of people's faces, and I could see them kind of singing along and smiling, and especially folks who brought their kids. It was really sweet to see.
From her balcony in Paris, classical violinist Stephanie Marie Vegan and her two daughters serenaded their neighbors.
What we're doing is a guaranteed antidepressant. Our neighbors see us practicing all the time in front of our windows, but never hear us perform. As a school teacher, the confinement of kids weighs heavily on me. Maybe we can do this more often.
Greek opera singers had jokes performing from home, urging others to follow suit, even if they weren't exactly wearing suits. Tenor Dimitris Paksoglou.
We at the Greek National Opera say yes to coronas, but no to coronavirus. Stay home, to your health.
These musicians are just a few performers in a global campaign to keep people at home to slow the spread of the coronavirus. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News, Washington.
And that's VOA Asia for today and for this week. Thank you, as always, for spending a little time with us. We'll be back again with you on Monday. We hope you'll join us as well. And until then, stay healthy and be well.